isn't it? My God. And when I look at this lake, at that sunset, at the beach, my God, I'm reminded that God, in his perfect plan, in his creation, in all the different little ecosystems that we have on this planet, that an ecosystem as a whole works best when it is in complete harmony with all the other elements of that ecosystem. And it takes each part of the ecosystem to make a healthy unit, a healthy whole. This is a beautiful place. But sometimes something happens to throw an ecosystem out of whack. Well, the same thing can happen in the church. This is the first time that I've been able to preach here, to address the congregation here, to talk to y'all. They've been asking me for the past couple, 3 years, as long as I've been in Ludington. But Sunday mornings, as you can imagine, I'm busy with a couple of other things that I'm doing on Sunday mornings here in town. So this is the first opportunity I've had to come up here. My wife and I had a talk on the way here. She said, so what are you going to preach about? And I said, well, I've got one shot. I can either play it safe or I can really be me and tackle something. And if they invite me back again, awesome. If not, well, they knew what they were getting when they got me. I'm going to tackle the subject of when something happens within the Church of God to throw off that harmony. And I kind of see it in the church in the U.S. today. And I'd like to address a couple of things there. But the first thing I'd like to do is read to you from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, 1 through 11. Tell me if you've heard this one before. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman they had caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, all right, stone her. But let those who have never sinned throw the first stones. Then he stooped down again, and he wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to her, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. I read that story to you because here were a group of people that understood that they were God's people and God was their God. And yet, they wanted to take this woman. I don't know why they didn't catch the man at the same time. As long as I can remember, it took two to do that, okay? I guess he was faster or something, beats me. But they bring this woman in front of them, and, well, they want to accuse her. They want to stone her. They want to, well, Here's people that understood the love of God or who had been taught about the love of God, but really didn't know how to experience it, how to take it deep within them. It seems to be a lack of harmony here. In the church today, I think there's also a lack of harmony, actually, to tell you all the truth. This isn't something new, but something that I think it hurts us very deeply. You guys know that all mainline denominations, they have been in the decline in the U.S. over the past several years. Our churches are not spilling over with youth dying to come into our Sunday schools. Our pews are not full. A lot of us are struggling to meet budgets. I mean, we got concerns over money and how are we going to pay the bills? How are we going to pay for a full-time pastor? Let alone other staff. Where have all the young families gone? Well, you know what I think has been happening here is, well, quite frankly, a young family that is not churched, when they look at the church, they have no denominational affiliation whatsoever. And sometimes they look at us and they see the way that we're not really too kind to each other. We throw stones at each other. We really do. Mainline Protestant denomination churches of the more liberal mindset make statements like, we need to take back the meaning of Christianity from those evangelical Christians who are ruining it for everybody. Evangelical Christians are going, hey, you know, you're ordaining gay people? Forget it. We can't have anything to do with you. And forget throwing stones at each other. For God's sakes, we're lobbing bombs at each other and saying, no, we can't associate with you because of that. Man, we're divided. We're divided into camps. Sometimes within our own churches, we sit there and somebody starts praying and they start praying for policemen and officers wounded in the line of duty. And somebody else who's sitting in the pew going, I know what she really means about that. What about the people who are suffering at the hands of police? And even within our own houses, we're a house divided. I don't think this is good. I know it's not good. I'm a member of the American Legion here in town. Thank you, Bill Swan. For those of you who knew Bill Swan from town, absolutely. Bill Swan got me involved in the American Legion, and I will tell you what. When I go to the American Legion, and we're in there, and I'm on the honor guard now, when you have an Army vet, of which I am, sitting next to a Marine, sitting next to an Air Force, and Coast Guard's in there, and did I mention Air Force? Who do I got? Navy. I miss Navy. We will fight like only brothers can fight. We do. Oh, we rib each other relentlessly. You know what the Navy calls Marines? Cargo. That's okay. You know what they call us, Army guys? Bullet catchers. Navy guys we call squids. Air Force people we call zoomies. I don't even know what we call Coast Guard. Shallow water sailors. Waiters. And in-house, we'll tease each other, but there's a comradeship. There's a unity. There's a togetherness. And you know what? On the honor guard, I wear a uniform, and I go out and I perform services for vets who have passed. And in that uniform, the only thing that distinguishes me from a Marine is a little badge right here that says Army. His says Marines. Other than that, our uniforms are exactly the same. And you know what? When somebody calls out left, right, we actually all march on the same foot. Well, most of the time. Okay, most of the time. There's a certain comradeship, a certain harmony that exists in there, especially when we're called to do something for somebody else. I found this true when I was on active duty. You know what? When you're on active duty, whether it's in a hostile zone or stateside, if there's somebody else in another American service uniform, they are there with a common goal as I am. They are there with a common mission. I don't stop them to ask them, oh, you're an American service member. That's great. What state did you come from? Well, I wouldn't do that. Well, maybe there's some people from California that, you know, I might not agree with their views and opinions on things. Or maybe those Texans. We know how Texans can be awfully proud about Texas. Texas is New Yorkers. Oh, why bother living anywhere else but New York? You don't ask that of other service members. It doesn't matter. The differences that separate us in the service are minor compared to the goal at hand. But in the church, sometimes, honestly, oh, you're Christian? What kind of Christian are you? Oh, you're one of those Christians. Oh, you are one of those non-denominational megachurch guys, aren't you? Oh, you're one of them born-again people, huh? Oh, you're one of those right-wing evangelical types. Oh, you're one of those left-wing liberal Protestant churches, aren't you? And we refuse to have anything to do with them. We talk from our pulpits about different people. And I can't believe that's good. Not at all. And it seems as though coming to Ludington, this has been a common theme. Maybe it's because I am pastoring an Episcopal church and a Lutheran church. And I get along with all the other denominations in town, for the most part. I try to, if they let me. But it seems to have been a reoccurring theme in my ministry here. You know, if I were in a combat zone, and I was talking to another American service member, and I was asking them what state they were from and what's their political affiliation and all that kind of good stuff. I think the enemy would love me doing that. Because they would have a leg up on me. It's disunity in the ranks. You know what, Christians? We also have a common enemy. And I think when we're throwing rocks at each other, I think the enemy kind of has a day off, doesn't have to work as hard. We're doing the job for him. And that shouldn't be. Man, that shouldn't be. Christians, we have a common goal in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a common enemy in the one who wants to steal our joy, take the glory that is due God's holy name. Denominational divisions have to end. But we were carefully taught that, weren't we? We were carefully taught when we were kids. Oh, you're a Lutheran? Don't you go hanging out with the Catholics in town. You don't hang out with them. Oh, you're Baptist? You know what? You know that those Catholics, they're re-sacrificing Christ on the altar every week. Don't hang out with them. Episcopalians? Well, you know you have the true gospel. Man, we were carefully taught. We were carefully taught to wave our denominational flag first and then our Christian flag in back of that. And it is exactly opposite of what it needs to be. Now, I'm not saying there's not going to be differences among us. Oh, heck yeah. My wife and I live in the same house. Do you think we are lockstep on every thought that we ever have? No. She corrects me daily. And rightfully so. We're not going to have lockstep of thought, but we do have a common goal. We serve a common God. This flying our denominational flag first has to stop. Let me read to you from Romans. Paul writes this letter to a bunch of Christians living in Rome. And he's talking to them, and he starts chapter 14 with some of you eat meat and some of you don't eat meat, and you're throwing rocks at each other, and some of you worship on Sunday and some of you worship on another day. And you know what? Stop arguing. So we pick it up in 14 verse 5. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. Each person should have a personal conviction about this matter. Those who have a special day for worshiping the Lord are trying to honor him. Those who eat all kinds of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who won't eat anything also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. Don't argue. For we are not our own masters when we live or when we die. We may know all these things that make no difference, but we cannot just go ahead and do them to please ourselves. We must be considerate of the doubts and fears of those who think these things are wrong. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you to live in complete harmony with each other, each with the attitude of Christ Jesus toward the other. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So accept each other, just as Christ has accepted you. Then God will be glorified. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews and to show that God is the true promise that he made to our ancestors. And he came so to the Gentiles that they might also give glory to God for his mercies to them. Be good to each other. Timothy Keller. He's one of my favorite authors. He started this church in New York, a Presbyterian church, a Redeemer Presbyterian in Manhattan. He's written several books, and he's taken some pretty hard stances against same-sex marriage. He's not a big fan. Well, he was invited to, I think, Columbia University, as I remember the story. And the interviewer on stage, it was just he and this interviewer on stage, and the interviewer was trying to trap him because he knew the audience that he had, and he wanted to get things rolling, get them heated up a little bit. So he said, Pastor Keller, let me ask you a question. Are there going to be homosexuals in heaven? And without missing a beat, Timothy Keller looks over at him and goes, oh, absolutely, there has to be. And this caught the interviewer a little off guard. He was not expecting that answer at all. And he said it again. He said, well, whoa, wait a minute, really? You've written things about same-sex marriage, that you're not in favor of that and everything like that. And he said, yeah, I know. Well, I'm kind of surprised, forgive me, to hear that you believe they're going to be in heaven. He said, well, there have to be. If I have any chance of getting into heaven, there has to be homosexuals there. Let me explain why. You see, our entrance into eternal life with God the Father is not dependent on whether we got things right or wrong in this life. Because if that were the case, all of us are doomed. Because who is foolish enough to think that they got it all right? No, it's based on who we belong to. And Timothy Keller said, I know many Christians who are homosexuals, who are trying their best to follow God, who call themselves Christians, and I am not their judge. That job is already filled. I want to end tonight with a reading from 1 Peter. First Peter 1:21-22. Through Christ you have come to trust in God. And because God raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory, your faith and hope can be placed confidently in God. Now you can have sincere love for each other as brothers and sisters because you were cleansed from your sins when you accepted the truth of the good news. So see to it that you really do love each other intensely with all your hearts. Love each other. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the world is watching. What are they going to see? Sure, there are differences between us. I'm not trying to sugarcoat that at all. There are always going to be. There were in the early church. there were in the Middle Ages. We had this whole thing called the Reformation over it, and, well, there are differences between us now. But that doesn't negate our need for loving each other. It is a beautiful place. Look at the beauty of creation all around us. Look how beautiful things are when they are in perfect harmony with each other. What could the church do if it were more harmonious? I'm not saying the same. I'm saying, what if we really loved each other, regardless of the differences? Then maybe, just maybe, those who do not know God yet, but need to know that God loves them, maybe, just maybe, they might be willing to hear it from us because they see us living it out. What would happen if they really saw all of God's children loving each other? Brothers and sisters, will you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the beauty of this place and our time that we have gotten to spend together. We thank you for the word that Jesus brought to us, the good news, the gospel of Christ. We thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for calling us as brothers and sisters one to another. Father, we need your help. We need your help to love the way that Christ was trying to teach us to love. Give us the strength, Father, to recognize those times when I'm not being very kind to another one of my brothers or sisters. Give me the strength to, give me the strength to let me override my hummingbird brain sometime, because my alligator mouth overrides that sometimes. Lord, let me tame my tongue. Give to us the gift of love, one for another. And now I'd like to send you with God's blessing, if I may. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you all this night and remain with you always. Amen. Alleluia. Alleluia. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia. Melody, thank you very much. Please. Oh, thank you very much. You're assuming they are going to want to greet me. Wait a minute. That's a big assumption.